The following program has been paid for by Vital Ministries of Oskaloosa, Iowa.
Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Sunday. I tell you what, it has been just another great week of encouragement and just good things that are going on, and we're just blessed, I think, just to have another day of an opportunity, of another gift, of a treasure of living this day, and I'm just very much thankful for that. But before we get into our teaching today, just a few things I want to bring you up to date on. Our next Vital Gathering is literally less than a month away. It's on March 8th at Debbie's Celebration Barn right here in Oskaloosa. We go from 5 to 7 o'clock. We'll have great food at the very beginning. We have a worship time, a teaching. We're going to be talking about what is some of your greatest dreams. And I'm just excited about that teaching for that evening, but it should be a good time. And then we have a fellowship following after that. But just encourage you, that's coming up on March 8th. From 5 to 7 o'clock at Debbie's Celebration Barn right here in Oskaloosa. You can go to vitalministries.org to get more information on the location, on how to get there, and just some of the other updates as they go along for us as we prepare for that upcoming event. Also, too, we send out Vital Men and Vital Women devotionals out 6 days a week. Just a great opportunity to give you that extra plug during your day of inspiration of how the Lord can speak to us in different ways of giving you a nugget in the day, in the midst of your busy lifestyle. As a matter of fact, you can get it as an app right on your phone. Vital Ministries can come right directly on demand right to your phone, and you just get that sent to you just daily or by email. So just encourage you to do that. We have 5 writers for the men. My wife takes care of the writing for the women, and just an inspiration that I think just encourages us of who we can as we grow stronger in our lives with Christ. Also, too, we have Vital Men's Ministries throughout 6 different locations right here in South Central Iowa. I encourage you to go to vitalministries.org and see the nearest location. We are studying the 10 values that can change your life and just some really good stuff. So just encourage you to look, go on the website, see the nearest location, and possibly get plugged in to one of those 6 areas that I believe can make a great impact. But as we start for this new teaching series for the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at what is your love language? An interesting topic for the month of February, as it's looked at as the month, what I would call the month of love. Matter of fact, February 14, Valentine's Day, is only 6 days away. Just encourage you men that are listening, be attentive to that. It's, again, 6 days away, February 14th. And I encourage you, as you're listening today, to make preparations, doing some sort of thing to show how much you love your spouse, both men and women, as you love each other. And I just pray that that everyone goes out and experiences that day. And just the expression of the acknowledgement of we've set aside a holiday for Valentine's Day. I've learned in marriage that my wife appreciates for me far more the card expressing my love to her than sometimes the acts of taking her out, of sending her a box of chocolates, which she absolutely does not want anymore. She loves flowers. And so those are good. But just the card, taking time to getting a card that's heartfelt and writing a few words on it, I think just goes a long way, especially during this Valentine's season. I'll even show another expression to my wife of just how much I love her. And I even on my phone, I have a special ringtone for her, just her. Normally, everyone else gets the ringtone of Low Rider by War. But for her, it's Pretty Girl by Bruno Mars, and I just want her to know that that is her tone, and that is the only other ringtone that I have on my phone, and that just makes me, when she calls, make special attention and make sure I answer that call. So I just encourage you, as both spouses, especially men, have that special ringtone for your wife, and I think she'd really, really appreciate it. I do this in order to keep I think, folks, as we look this morning, to keeping her love tank full. Now, you might be asking yourselves, what do you mean by that? And it says, according to psychologists, the primary emotional need for every human is to feel loved. Love will make you climb mountains, cross seas, walk through a desert, and even endure a hardship. If you don't believe me, just watch the Hollywood movies. Yet the word love is often confused in many ways. We say things like, I love my car, I love my dog, I love the Kansas City Chiefs. We use all these objects of love or things, animals, nature in the same word to express the very closest people that we love most and cherish, our wife or our loved ones or our spouse. And it gets confusing at best. And one word of love means love to all. That's always been in my mind as people will say, man, I just love that. Well, do you really? And so we just get those things mixed up. But in my mind, it just continually to be confusing at best. I don't like how the Greeks use the different words to show what love means. And I think it's an opportunity for us this morning. I just don't want to take a lot of time in it, but I want to show you how the Greeks actually used different words to express love and their meaning. And I think it's always good to go back on it. It's used a lot in the, especially in the New Testament. Paul uses a lot. And also, too, as we look at the different meanings of love, and I think even in Christ, when he spoke of the different meanings of how he loved, he was using those. And I think this morning, we're going to look at just six of them briefly to help us to understand. The first one is this, is eros, the sexual passion. Now, this word comes from the Greek god fertility. It represents sexual passion or desire. It's good love. Now, hear me on this. It is good love within the boundaries of marriage itself. That passion, that desire, that fire that's there, that's always good in marriage. And it's exciting. It also brings adventure to the marriage room, to the marriage bedroom, as we express that with each other. But outside of marriage, it becomes dangerous. It's fiery, and it becomes irrational form of love that can lead a person down a wrong path. And a lot of times you will hear that expression being used, especially between people who are not yet married, and they base their whole foundation of marriage based on the wrong meaning of love. They have eros, sexual passion, and they think that's enough to sustain them. But I like this, what Paul writes about this. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 through 9. I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them to remain unmarried as me. But if they do not have self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with desire. Man, isn't that so true? And Paul does it in such an expression to help us to understand this meaning of eros love, to help us grow deeper and to help us to see the good in it and also to the bad in it. The next one is filial. You've heard that philo or philia or deep, which means deep friendship. Philia love is sometimes shown between brothers in arms who fight in the battle. I recently went to the movie 1917 and I highly recommend it. Now, it's not what I would call a kid-friendly movie by any means. There's just a lot of death in it. There's a lot. It's war. It's a war movie. But what it does is just show these brothers in arms, these two men that go out and have a task, and they show a brotherhood. And you can see that deep friendship, that deep love in that movie. And you see that oftentimes throughout different movies about war. It's friendship that shows sacrifice. But this is also can't be confused with what I would call friendship that we often have even today of what we call on Facebook or Twitter. Well, we have Facebook friends or we have Twitter friends. That's not the same thing, folks. Philo or philia love means it's a deep friend. It's a bond. It's a brotherhood between a man and another man or between another woman and another woman. Oftentimes we have those in deep friendships with other people. And I think women do an exceptional job of understanding this philia love of the deepness of the friendship itself. It says this in Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born from adversity. Isn't that true? The next one is ludus, A playful love. Now, this is a playful love that we can see oftentimes between children. They will have this playful love between each other. You can see that, especially between siblings. There's a love there, but it's playful. They're playing with each other. But also, too, this other one can also be between adults, and it's used in a way of teasing, in a way of flirting. And I think it's important for us, as we look at that, to understand that ludus is a playful love. It's something that we do a lot of times. I would say it's done, what I would say a lot of times, with youth, especially teenagers or young people before marriage. It's a flirting. It's playful, and it's a teasing. I think sometimes that's good to create that in marriage as well, where we don't forget about the flirting and the teasing that we once did before we married, because it's easy to, what I call, to get into the common things or just living it out. And I think it's good for us to continue that kind of ludus love. The next one is, this is agape. Now, we've heard that a lot in the Bible. Agape love is a love for everyone. This is the most, I find this interesting. It says, this is the most radical because this is a selfless love. This love is extended to all people, whether it's a family member or even a stranger. We attribute it to John 3:16, where for God so loved the world that he gave his son. C.S. Lewis says it's this way. It is a gift love, a highest form of Christian love. And I think that's so important for us as we look at that. Matter of fact, Romans 5:8 puts it this way: but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's agape love. That's what it's important for us to understand, the difference of these different loves and the meaning. The next one is pragma. A long-standing love. Pragma is about making compromises to help relationships work over time and showing patience and tolerance. Isn't that so true in marriage? You need to have a pragma love, a long-lasting love. It's not a love that you just simply throw aside when things aren't going good or frustrations. I often hear people will throw that outside due to the fact of sometimes of situations where simply financial. You hear that a lot. Couples don't make it if there's financial things that happen within the marriage and that causes stress in a marriage. Folks, there's always things in marriage that causes stress, and we need to show patience and tolerance and love each other through it. The next one is philanesia, or love of oneself. You become self-obsessed and focused on a personal fame and fortune. Now, I always think it's good for us to realize the different kinds of love, as the Greeks put it, for all of us, as we look at that, for how do we do love for us who live in America? Words that mean something, words that assimilate, can't be used as just one word. And it's hopefully for us as we look at the different kinds of love, but we're also going to look at five different ways that's important for understand the five different love languages that every person, every couple should know what their spouse love language is. And I hope that we can express that and we can make that really, really clear as we do marriage, as we look at this month of February, that we take time to stand back for a moment and look at what our spouse's love language is. Now, today we're just going to look at one. We're going to spend the next 3 weeks studying this about what it means to five different love languages. But love language number one is this: words of affirmation. Proverbs 18:21 says this: death and life are the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruits. Now, isn't that an interesting piece of scripture? We say to our spouse, in which we give words, and words are a powerful communicator within the boundaries of love within marriage itself. For instance, you might say, "Boy, you look sharp today." My wife uses oftentimes when she'll get dressed up, generally speaking, most mornings for school. That's just part of her rhythm. That's part of the expectation of the job she does, other than when they have different days where they'll wear a t-shirt or do something different. But generally speaking, she gets dressed up and she'll have her outfit picked out the night before so she can make the best use of her time as she prepares her morning as she gets ready for school. Now, it's important. Now, I know it's important for her that I take notice, and it's especially, I don't see it on before, but it's when she comes home when we catch each other. And I oftentimes, it's important to communicate how she looks. I fill up her love tank when I notice, and especially when I express it. Verbal compliments are important communicators in marriage itself. So I encourage you to look, and as you look at those different things, to be communicating. What's your verbal language? What are your words of affirmation that you're speaking to your spouse? There are also what I call the negative communicators that can literally destroy a marriage, especially when you live with one, with a person who is either critical or they're simply nagging. Now I mean this for both men and women. I'm not just putting women aside on this. Men can do the same thing. I've seen men share with me that sometimes because of something at home, they have a loved one who, what I would say, is nagging or being critical towards them. And the reason why I share that, I'm going to ask for an umbrella of mercy this morning, because most of the time I spend is with men, not necessarily with women. And they will tell me that because of when those things happen at home, they often will make themselves absent. They will make a place to, because if their spouse is nagging or being critical, they'll simply give those harsh words of action towards them. They'll just vacate. And it goes both ways for both men and women. It's easy to fall into that trap and to simply to vacate. My wife communicates with me every Saturday morning that she's going to clean house in the morning. So I oblige her. I go and find something to do. I will go out, generally speaking, I'll go out to breakfast oftentimes. Many, many people will see me on a Saturday morning. I sit up at Julie's Cafe and I'll have breakfast. And after that, I'll go do office work, clean my truck or do something so she can have some alone time. She says, I just need downtime alone. I want to get the house cleaned up. And you know what? I affirm her that. She's not being down towards me about that, but also too, she's giving, and the same is vice versa. Sometimes I'll communicate to her, you know what, sweetheart, I just need some downtime. Not that I don't want to be with you, but I just need some alone time. I've had a hard day or something has happened, and I just need to work through it in my own mind. It's not meaning that I don't want to be with her. It's saying to her that she's important. I want to make sure I don't say something critical or harsh towards her, so I need to work it through mentally. And a lot of times women don't always understand that sometimes men, and women do too sometimes, simply need those moments. So where we get out, I just need some alone time. And when we do that, that is an expression of words of affirmation that, yes, go, take that time. But I want to discuss three different ways of how we express words and how we say things within the confines of marriage, and how it's important in order for what I would say to keep marriage alive, keep the fire burning. As we look at this love language, number one, words of affirmation, and number one is this, encouraging words. The word encourage means to inspire. We all have areas in our lives in which we feel insecure or we simply lack courage. Everyone does. We all deal with that. But that's why it's important for us to encourage our spouse or the significant other. We all have tough days in which we get discouraged, especially what I call in Iowa, when we don't see the sun for several days. It's easy to have those gloomy, cold days take a toll on our lives. My wife, this is what I love about my wife. My wife, generally speaking, is happy most mornings, and I appreciate that. She's always welcomes me with a good morning, and she gets up early, works out, makes the bed, feeds the dog, and gets herself ready for school. It's her early morning rhythm, and she's always, generally, with me, is always encouraging and speaks encouraging words to me, and I appreciate that. For me, most mornings are good, with the exception is when I've spoken on a Sunday morning, or I've spoken in the prison on a Sunday morning, and those next Monday is usually a tough day. I'm exhausted that morning. The devil continually will use words and helps me to remember in ways that I fell short in my teaching or in myself. And sometimes in those days, I fight discouragement, and to be honest, I just simply want to be left alone on those Mondays, and she understands it. But my wife sees it every time, and she will tell me I'm a good man, that she loves me. And when we pray together, she's affirming who I am as a man and also too as her husband. And I love that. And that she will remind me that I am a man of God. I am the man that leads her. And I love that about her. And she's always encouraging me in those words. And I encourage, the reason why I say that, I'm not trying to raise up my wife, but yes, I am to a point. But I want you to, as men and women in marriage, as you look at this, of words of encouraging each other, what kind of words of how you're speaking? And I hope by me sharing this with this morning, that's important for you to give your spouse an encouraging word and make it heartfelt. I promise you that it will drop gallons of love into your spouse's love tank, and you continually use words of affirmation, and you will fill each other's tank when you do that. The next one is this, is number two, is kind words. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love is kind. It's important to be kind in our words and our actions. Kind words or words themselves have a tone. Our spouse can usually interpret that message that we are sending them based a lot of times in the tone in which we use them. Most recently, my wife went through our home and she purged, got rid of stuff that we don't use. She calls it simplifying. She got rid of boxes of stuff, clothes, and even a small amount of furniture. Most of it ended up in the garage, and then she asked me this, will you take it to Pella to the well for me? Now, my response and also my tone was important. So I chose my words wisely and with kindness, and I looked at her and I said, sure, I'll take it. I'll take care of it. And folks, I did. Within 4 days, it was gone. And my wife loved that, and she affirmed that back into me, that I simply took the moment. It was encouraging to her, and also it also showed kindness. Now, the late Glenn Campbell, he writes a song, Try a Little Kindness. Now, folks, some of you are listening today, those of you who are older know this song. And I think the lyrics of it goes pretty cool of what it shows kindness. And I just want to read a portion of those lyrics. Glenn Campbell, as he would sing, and I wish, folks, I could sing, but I can't. And I'm not going to blow the radio off in doing it, but I will say what he says. It says, if you see your brother standing by the road, with a heavy load from the seeds he sowed. And if you see your sister falling by the way, just stop and say, you're going the wrong way. Then the song goes like this. It says, you got to try a little kindness, yet, yes, show a little kindness. Just shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you'll overlook the blindness of the narrow-minded people of the narrow-minded streets. Isn't that good? I encourage you. I got that on YouTube, and I just listened to it. It's an older song, and I know some of you that are younger might be listening today. It's a words of kindness, and it shows this. You can see and even use this word, this song, and it's how it applies even in marriage. It's important to show kindness to your spouse, and by doing so, you will overlook the blindness, and you will see each other in the light by which God created them. And sometimes we can walk in those blindness. Now, men, please hear me this morning. Show kindness to your wife, to your spouse. Watch your words, watch your tone, and watch your body language. Show kindness because your spouse is a gift from the Lord, and that is so special. The number three this morning is this, is humble words. Love makes requests, not demands. When I demand things from my spouse, I become more like a parent talking to a child. A parent tells a child what to do. And if you want to drain your spouse's love tank, then be demanding. Asking or making a request is essential in having humble words in marriage. There are times when I need my work clothes. I'll come home and they're washed due to the fact during the week, due to the fact of weather, or especially when we go into the muddy season. And I don't come in and demand my wife, will you wash my clothes? And demand it. I ask her, and she does it. We recently finished building a home for a couple. This husband and wife, and this one thing that really struck me about this woman, and she was a woman of what I call that showed great humility and showed humility in her words and the things how she was towards her husband and even with us. And you can tell her humble spirit went to the core of her soul. She wrote us, I would say, one of the kindest appreciation notes and sent it to us that we've ever received. Her humility echoed in every word that she wrote, and I know she displays that in her married life with her husband. One of the Christ Beatitudes in Matthew 5:5 says this, "God blesses those who are humble, for they shall inherit the whole earth." Humility takes ground, folks, not only the physical, but in the spiritual. We take ground with our spouse by being humble in how we speak. We win them over. You want to win over your spouse? Be humble. Be humble in how you speak, how you listen, and before you speak, make sure you're working through things of humbleness. In closing today, I want you to know, how are your words? Are they words of affirmation to your spouse? What are you communicating? Are they encouraging? Are they words that are kind? And do you speak with humility? Being affirming in your love language with your spouse, it will lead you to having a better marriage and will help in your spouse's heart back open to you and how you communicate with each other. A lot of times people will share with me within marriage that their spouse's heart is closed off to them. Sometimes, folks, this love language, words of affirmation, and how you display them, how you speak them, and how you act them out may be the very key of opening up the heart of your spouse. Will you pray with me this morning? Jesus, again, I just want to thank you for this day. You are the one who created all the words of love, the love language that we speak with each other within marriage. Lord, I pray this morning that maybe there's a couple out there that's listening, that they're struggling in having words of affirmation. There's been heartache. There's been moments of things that have been said. There's been ways that have closed up maybe each other's heart. I pray, Holy Spirit, that words of affirmation help them to understand. Help them, as it says, you ask us to be humble, and those that are humble will inherit the kingdom of God. It's taking back land. Lord, I pray that we take back land not only in the physical but also in the spiritual, that we take back our spouse's heart by words of affirmation and showing that love language of how much we love our spouse. And we thank you in your precious holy name. Amen. Folks, I want to thank you for listening today. I'm sure that many of you are traveling down the highway today. You've turned us on. I pray that this has been a word of affirmation even as you've been driving, or maybe you've been driving on your way to church this morning. Thank you for listening, or maybe this is you're sitting at home today. This is your church. I want to thank you for participating and being part of Vital Ministries. Next week, we're going to discuss two different love languages. We're going to discuss what it means to have quality time and also what it means to have receiving gifts. I think these love languages are powerful. I think it's essential in marriages to how we understand the love language of our spouse and how we can, as both men and women within marriage, to speak that love language so that we can all have an affirming marriage that's exciting, in which we love each other and we do life together. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.